Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Time now for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Green Party TD for Dunleary and Minister of State for Communications, Procurement and the Circular Economy, Oisín Smith, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Mid West and Party Spokesperson on Housing, Eoghan O'Brien, Political Correspondent with the Irish Mirror, Louise Byrne, and we have Law Lecturer at the South East Technological University, Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, and you're all welcome. Thank you for coming in here today. Oisín Smith, I'll start with you on the budget because it's just over 3 weeks away. The Irish Independent has an interesting little survey in there today. 70% of taxpayers said Budget 2025 could influence how they vote in the next general election. 70%. So the pressure is on not only to get it right, but to put money in people's pockets, isn't it? Because of what's coming on the horizon afterwards.
Yeah, of course it's going to influence people's decision about how they vote. Yeah, what kind of...
Which is why it's going to be a giveaway.
No, I honestly don't think so. I think that, for a start, we've already published the parameters of what the budget will be in the summary economic statement. But beyond that, there have been cases in the past where there have been a giveaway budget just before an election that had the opposite effect. So I think the public are smart enough to know when somebody's trying to buy their vote. So I don't see that happening. I think we've got a kind of a stable and... we've got an approach where we want to have a serious long-term budget that works for everybody. And I think people can see through if you try and give them money. I think if you go back to Fianna Fáil budgets from
But according
sort of 20
to this survey,
ago,
they like it. 70% of taxpayers said Budget 2025 could influence how they vote in the next general election. Now, that would suggest...
Yeah, but 70% of taxpayers didn't say that they would vote for the government if they got a giveaway budget.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, those taxpayers might not vote for the government if they thought that the government was being unwise.
Well, they're hardly asking the government to, you know, increase their taxes and saying that they're going to vote for them as a result of that.
I think what people want is balance. They don't want a budget that is irresponsible. They don't want to find that people are in the short term trying to buy their vote or persuade them in the short term by spending irresponsibly. I don't think people want that. And at the same time, nobody wants a hair shirt budget or a budget that's unfair or cruel or doesn't do the right thing. So okay. I think that people will be influenced by the budget, but they'll be influenced by a budget that's wise.
Let's talk, Eoghan, about what we know. I mean, Micheál Martin seemed to confirm this week there will be an increase in child benefit, but we have the ESRI telling us about 230,000 children who are in material deprivation, and they suggest that a second rate of targeted child benefit would be the way to go. Do you agree with them, or do you think the overall lift is the right thing to do?
Well, first of all, I think what most people want in the budget is two things. The first is investment in the critical infrastructure deficits that impact on people's lives. Because I think Oisín's right, not everybody wants a giveaway, but people want affordable homes, they want affordable childcare, they want access to better quality healthcare. And there are so many infrastructural deficits that require substantial investment, particularly capital investment, that people want to see that. And then people want to see issues of fairness, inequality and absolutely poverty addressed. I don't think it's an either or between universal payments and targeted payments. I think you need a balance of both. And the issue around, for example, whether we should have a universal increase in child benefit or a means-tested targeted one has been around for a long time. Part of the difficulty is that if you try and means test it, the administrative cost of that, according to a report some years ago, would actually be greater than the savings if you target it.
Fianna Fáil's Thomas Byrne made that point yesterday.
And that's not a point that's been made by government. That's a point that's been made by independent experts who assessed it. Our view is first of all, there should be one-off double payments of child benefit in October and December. There should be a flat rate increase then for everybody of about 10 euros per child.
Which they've sort of said they're going
afterwards.
To do.
But there's a whole range of other payments that you could do really, really good action in terms of tackling. One-parent family payment, for example, fuel allowance. But there's a broader issue here for me, which is we often get into this thing around you're going to increase it by this or that. And often the discussions are completely arbitrary. We actually need a commission on social welfare adequacy, not unlike the commission on low pay, that actually on an annual basis, on a set of objective criteria, actually looks at the rates of pay and makes good kind of evidence-based recommendations to government as to what rates should increase and why. Because sometimes it does seem a little bit arbitrary, and therefore we're also once again recommending strongly a commission on social welfare adequacy be established, because that would take away some of the either perception or reality of auction politics from the decisions that have been made at budget time.
Well, do you think that auction politics is what we're seeing now and that the government is going to make some attempt to buy votes?
We've had budgets previously, and again, I actually agree with Oisin on this, where government has attempted to give a giveaway budget. But because they've kind of spread money so thinly and in such an unwise and unstrategic way, they get no benefit. I think actually, and there's strong opinion polling for this that supports it, I actually think people are going to judge this budget, not in terms of whether they get an extra 5 or 10 euros here, but on the big ticket items. We can see from the opinion polls, particularly housing, what's the level of increased investment to ensure people get access not only to social homes and get off council waiting lists and reduce homelessness, but to be able to rent or buy affordably. I think actually it's some of those big ticket items and the level of direct capital investment in tackling those deficits, public transport, energy efficiency, childcare and healthcare are going to be key among those as well.
Okay, do you think at this stage, Louise, given what we've heard from the government, the kite flying ahead of the budget, that voters expect a real giveaway in October?
Yeah, and I think we have had giveaways for the last number of budgets under this government, so I think the public would expect no less. But I mean, even if you look at Taoiseach Simon Harris, he was at the IBEC presidential dinner last night and he was promising significant income and tax packages, cuts to employers, PRSI. And I think what you're going to see over the next few weeks, and because that general election is creeping up, the party's trying to play to their own bases. So because, especially Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because they're kind of become so entwined in this government, they're going to want to try and distinguish themselves. So, I mean, even earlier this week, you had, you know, Jack Chambers out saying no more tax breaks for landlords, that's over. Is that something Fine Gael might want? They all seem to be kind of on board with this whole inheritance tax issue, mm-hmm. which has been bubbling away for so long, but yet this seems to finally be the year that it's decided. And Micheál Martin basically declaring on the front page of the Irish Mail on yesterday, actually, that there was going to be more child benefit. Child benefit hasn't been touched in over a decade. And now suddenly, again, with the budget on the horizon, it looks like that is going to be delivered. And I think what's been really interesting as well from Fine Gael is this idea that they're not going to increase social welfare rates for long-term unemployed. Is that another kind of play on their base, trying to get people on side? They all know that the election, I mean, we're all sitting here saying it's March, it could be November, it could be October, we haven't got a clue when it's going to be, but I think that the election is very clearly on everyone's minds and people are going to want to distinguish themselves and say to the voters, well, this is what Fine Gael did, this is what the Greens did, this is what Fianna Fáil did. So I think it's going to be a more fractious budget perhaps than we've seen before, but it is going to be a giveaway. There's no doubt about that.
All right. And Jennifer, do you think that giveaway budgets work or do they serve to make people more cynical about politics?
I would say that they serve to make people more cynical, because the way I would read it is the more that they're going to say, oh, we're going to cut tax by this much or whatever sort of giveaway they're going to have, the closer the election will be to Christmas, because by the time that hits either your pay packet, when you see the money thinking, oh, I'm going to have so much more money because the government's cut the tax, you look at it, oh, well, that didn't really amount to a hill of beans. Whereas if they're going to go more on the investment, and to be honest with you, most middle income earners that I know are actually getting more frustrated by the fact that when they go to A&E, they've 7-8 hours wait. Yeah. They really, like, you would like to get a little bit more money back, but it's not the biggest deal. Like, with children's allowance, it's not really going to do much about that massive childcare bill that you're going to have at the end of the month. So if they go more infrastructure, I would say that the election will be after Christmas, but if they go more tax breaks, it's going to be before the new year, because people won't get that big boost of going, oh, I got so much money, I love this party, I'm going to vote for them. And when 70% of people say that it could influence the way they vote, I think a lot of people have already made their minds up, but they're not going to tell the politicians, oh, we already know who we're going to vote for, because it's not giving any sort of motivation towards a good budget.
Yeah, Owen, to move on to your housing plan, and it is, I mean, it's top of the charts when it comes to voter concerns. Housing is always up there, if not at the very top of that list. Now, your plan, there was criticism of it on the affordable side, the fact that the state will always retain ownership of that land, restricting who you can sell it to in the future and the price that you can sell it for. You said that you'd spoken to the banks, yourself and Piers Doherty, but you have no guarantee, have you, that they will lend to people to buy these properties?
Well, first of all, there's also been a lot of welcome for that very same proposal, including from housing policy experts and others. And it's important to remember that if we're going to invest billions of euros of public money in land, site servicing and infrastructure, then it's not just this generation of affordable purchasers who benefit, but it's future generations as well.
But on the banks?
Yeah, well, actually, I actually think the statement they gave to Primetime has pretty much put that question to bed, which is they said they'll lend it to this scheme on the same basis as they would to anybody else. No opposition party is going to get a memorandum of understanding from the Banking and Payments Federation on a policy. Let's be very clear about that. And unlike Darragh O'Brien, who has a habit of launching schemes and opening to the public without talking to the BPFI, we've gone in twice. I met the BPFI earlier in the year. They asked for a position paper. We gave them that. They held a conference call with the Pillar Bank investment managers. Then myself and Pierce went back in and met them again. And what they made very clear is in order for them to be able to ensure their members lent into the scheme, a number of criteria would need to be met. Very obvious criteria. If you're going to lend, you need security in a case of default. That security, of course, can be a charge on the land. It could be the state stepping in and paying out the mortgage and turning an owner into a social or affordable rental tenant like Mortgage to Rent, and or the banks lending the money to the councils to provide the mortgages. We made it clear to the Banking and Payments Federation that a combination of those would be absolutely acceptable to us. So it's not that you go to the BPFI and you say, can you give us a piece of paper that I can wave to Claire Byrne
but
and say.
But it's hugely important for people, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, I would like an affordable home, but I want to own it. I want to be sure that I own it.
And well, first of all, you have to be able to afford it. And right now, if you're a single or a couple, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 grand, it is exceptionally difficult to buy not just a new home or a second-hand home. But also be very clear, legally, you will own this home. All across the country, there are homes that were bought with leasehold arrangements back in the 60s, 70s, apartments are all leaseholds. Mm-hmm. What's actually really important is the detail of the leasehold agreement. And we've set that out very clearly. You own this home. You can do with this home what you want.
Okay.
You can give it to your children and grandchildren. But if the state is ensuring you are able to buy it at a fair, affordable
then
price,
you have to agree to conditions around that.
You should be able to sell it at a fair and affordable price for a future affordable purchaser.
Okay.
That's just common sense.
Oisín, 4 years of government haven't solved this problem. At the very end, Sinn Féin come in with a plan which grabs all of the headlines. And as he said, there are commentators out there who said, yeah, you know what, there's some merit in what they're saying here. I mean, that must put you in a very difficult position on housing.
No, I think it's really good to see opposition coming up with a constructive suggestions, and I don't think
so. It's constructive.
I think it's constructive to come up with it's constructive to come up with alternative budgets and to come up with alternative policies, put them forward, and then debate them. And I think it would be wrong for me to just dismiss them out of
hand. So it's a good plan.
So I know I didn't say that. I said it's worth looking at.
It's
worth looking at. As I understand it, this part that people have noticed, which is the idea of a type of shared equity scheme where you buy a house, but you don't own the land underneath it, and that reduces the cost. And then ultimately, when you go to sell the house, you don't own the land, so it sells at a discount and it goes back into social housing again. That's roughly as I understand it. And that's certainly got an attraction, and I think it might meet a certain segment of the market. Nobody's saying that would fix everything, but it's certainly worth having a look at or running a pilot on.
Instead of Darragh O'Brien going on Primetime and having a big argument with Owen O'Brien about this plan, the government should look at the plan and say, you know what, there's some merit in this.
I am looking at it. I mean, one thing, though, that it reminds me of is that when the state started, you bought your house and the land belonged to some English lord and you didn't own the land underneath your house. You didn't have the freehold to your house. Everybody had these leaseholds, had these ground rents. And this was ultimately abolished, and we were granted a right to own the land underneath our own houses. And I remember years back, my family getting paying the small amount of money to own the land. And there was no real reason for it. It was a psychological thing about owning the land under your house. And I think there is a reflection of that in this policy. There is something going back.
But that must be abhorrent for you to hear, Owen, that reminds Oisín of English lords owning the land under your feet.
Well, first of all, of course, unfortunately, English Lord ground rent hasn't been abolished, and there's people in Oisín's own constituency who are still tied into that. There is no comparison to that type of leasehold arrangement. This is public land. It essentially is public property. There is no ground rent. It is free, indefinite use of the land for you, your children and your grandchildren. But here's the issue. The government is currently selling so-called affordable purchase homes under the Affordable Purchase Scheme in Dublin, where the full price after you pay out the 20% equity share that the state owns in your home is 400 to 500,000 euros. Mm-hmm. The only way you can deliver really good quality homes in Dublin and elsewhere, prices of 250,000 plus, is if the state absorbs some of those costs. And for us, the best way to do that to ensure every generation has an opportunity to put an affordable roof over their heads is for the state not only to retain ownership of the land, but cover the cost of site servicing, development levies and utility connections. The real issue here isn't actually about the leasehold and the land. It's whether or not affordable homes can be delivered for people. And this government promised to deliver thousands of homes. Dara Bryan, when he was appointed minister, went around all of the radio studios, including here, saying, I'm going to deliver thousands of homes at €260,000. Not only have they not delivered thousands, they've delivered only a few hundred at tiny prices. This is the only proposal on the table from any political party that says, year on year, we can deliver an average of 5,000 affordable homes at prices that people on incomes of 50, 60, 70, 80,000
can actually
afford. Now,
they might say with a Help to Buy scheme for first-time buyers, they are bringing down the price.
But here's the problem. About 70% of first-time buyers, even with schemes like the so-called Help to Buy, cannot afford a new home. They're buying second-hand homes further and further away from where they need to live and work. And the great problem with Help to Buy is it pushes up house prices. It needs to be phased out as one. You're ramping up the delivery of good quality public affordable homes to buy. But crucially, too, because a large part of our plan is about supporting and activating the private residential development sector to build far more private homes
at
more moderated prices for working people to buy.
Yeah, I actually think the bigger issue with the Sinn Féin housing plan is the abolition of the Help to Buy scheme. And because we know that there's something like 500 people a week applying for that scheme. And I know a lot of people who would never have been able to afford the homes that they're currently living in if it wasn't for the Help to Buy scheme.
But if the houses are cheaper, you don't need it.
Ideally. But how long is it going to take to make the houses cheaper? You know, there's going to be a lag between getting rid of the Help to Buy scheme, Owen's affordable houses coming on stream. What happens within that lag? What do people do? How do they afford to buy houses? I think I'm surprised that it's not that section of the plan that the government is going after more rather than the land and the leasehold. Because to be perfectly honest, I mean, I think Owen seems to think he's got clarity on the banks. I know there was questions raised at the press conference the other day about stuff like, you know, what if the Gardaí need to come in and search the land? Who do they go for a warrant to? Do they go to the homeowner? Do they go to the state? Do they go to the council? And Owen, in fairness to him, said that, you know, more legal advice would be needed from the Attorney General and all that stuff. I think if that was sorted out, if the mortgage thing was sorted out and people thought they could buy homes for €250,000, €300,000, I actually don't think they'd care who owned the land, because if they were satisfied that they owned the house, I actually don't think they'd care. So I find it really interesting this week. The Taoiseach was saying it as well. You know, you buy the house, but you don't really own the house. Dara O'Brien was saying it during the week. He was on the radio, he was on the TV, he was everywhere, actually. And he was saying, you know, you don't own the land. I actually don't think that's the biggest issue or the biggest hole in this plan. I think stuff like the Help to Buy, things like getting rid of the first home scheme that people are relying on, I think that's the bigger issue. And I'm surprised that the government is going after the leasehold thing, because I don't think it's as big an issue as they're making out.
Well, Sinn, why not go after that? Scrapping Help to Buy and the first time buyer's grant and so on. I mean, do you think that if Owen manages to bring down the price of the house, that ultimately that's where you'd want to be, where you wouldn't need those schemes?
Obviously, there are thousands and thousands of young people who are looking forward to, who are working towards buying their first home. They're relying on getting funding through the existing schemes. If they're told that they're going to be abolished and they're going to be replaced with something which is a theoretical scheme that doesn't exist, they're certainly going to be anxious. I mean, they're going to feel that, and I can absolutely sympathise with that. I think what it comes down to in the end is, you know, solving the housing crisis is never going to be about coming up with grants and subsidies for people to buy houses. That element of things has to be there.
But
ultimately, there has to be a huge increase in the number of houses being built. And when we're facing an election, the question facing the public is, who do you trust to build more houses? Who do you think can actually deliver tens of thousands of extra houses? You know, we've doubled housing output in 3 years. Do you look at the government and say that that's there at the moment, that went from 20,000 to 40,000 houses, and say, I trust them? Or do I think that Sinn Féin has the competence to execute a plan? Can they actually deliver? And I think that's what it will come down to, arguments.
But your problem is that you're going out of this term with inflated house prices. I mean, as high as they were at the peak of the bubble.
We are, and that's partly because of a massive increase in population and also a massive increase in the economy. But we are also coming out of this with a doubling in housing output. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would an alternative government be able to maintain that type of execution? Would they be able to deliver that volume of extra housing? And that is the question that I think that's facing the public. They'll have to make that choice.
Two responses. First of all, on the issue of health Help to Buy. The reason why we put in place the phasing out of it over 5 years is to deal precisely with the issue that Louise is outlining, which is to ensure that people, for example, who are either building or about to buy houses know they have the security over the first 2 to 3 years that it's still available. But also because it pushes up house prices and excludes another group of people from buying, we also have to send a signal to the market that prices need to come down. And on supply, the actual number of new homes coming on stream for people to buy in the market each year hasn't increased since 2017. It's flatlined over that period. And the Housing Commission, an independent commission of experts, people who deliver homes in the public and private sector week in, week out, were asked by government to do a report. They've done a report. That report says you actually need to have an average of 60,000 new homes a year, and they've set out how it can be done. And they've also said you need to double the delivery of social and affordable homes. The experts asked by the government have said 60,000 new homes a year, 25,000 of those social and affordable. Micheál Martin says that's not possible, and neither Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or the Greens have committed to that proposition. We're accepting the Independent Housing Commission's advice. We believe, as they believe, if you make the right changes to policy, it's possible. But it's not a question of who you trust. People know over the lifetime of this government, house prices, rents and homelessness have reached record levels. And every single social and affordable housing scheme that Oisin's government put in place has missed its targets and under-delivered. So actually, I think it's really, do you think the people who have wrecked the housing system over the last decade should be allowed to continue to wreck it or give somebody else a chance to actually fix it for once?
Okay, Jennifer, there,
that is auction policy. That's just saying, oh, we'll build 50,000, 60,000 new homes.
Apologies. Just, an independent, this is very important.
It's claiming numbers, promises versus delivery.
No, an independent commission set up by your government was asked to tell us how many homes we need over the next 5 to 10 years, and within that, how many social affordable homes. An independent group of experts. They have given us that figure, and I think all political parties should take the auction politics out of it and accept what the independent commission have said. They've given us these numbers and we have accepted their expert advice. They've also said...
Do you accept
possible,
the Housing Commission's expert
possible,
advice?
It's possible, but only if you make the changes.
I absolutely do. We do need to build far more houses. We need to ramp up and we need to continue at the momentum that we have at the moment. So we need to continue in the direction we're going.
And the question facing the commission is recommending.
The commission is recommending a radical reset. Are you going to choose somebody who promises more or are you going to pick somebody...
Right. Jennifer, I haven't heard from you.
Exactly.
Jennifer, what did you make of the Sinn Féin plan this week?
Look, the more plans that we have, the better. But the problem is there is so much announcement of plans by all government all the parties that are in government and Sinn Féin. The people who are looking to buy houses are just going, will you just build the things and get on with it? And the other problem that I always come across is everything is based on couples. More people are living on their own for longer. Sure. There's families that are breaking up who need their own accommodation. And if everything is based on a couple, you might as well just rename Tinder the joint application pathway. Because if you are on your own, OK, the banks, it is harder to get a loan because it's just one income coming in. Mm-hmm. But people should not be forced into arrangements with friends or relationships that they probably should be out of because it's not working just so they can get a mortgage. And there's always been loads of different ways of plans and everything, like you had the restrictive covenants that was the reason why Merrion Square was built the way it was. You had a thing called a Welsh mortgage where the bank was actually your landlord back in the 1800s. There's always been loads of vehicles on how you can own property. And that point of, oh, if the guards coming in to do a search, who are we actually applying to? Sure, that got sorted out with the Crusades because all the lords went off to the Middle East. The taxman was coming up to the door of the castle going, we need the tax money. The wife that was left there was going, well, I don't technically own it. The solicitor who had the ownership was then saying, well, we don't own it. And that's how you got the law of trust.
All right,
so
we're back to the Crusades, but we have to leave it there. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming in. We're at the end of our time today and for the week. Thank you for listening.